patience is something that is difficult for many of us. And I, for one, I love fast food and I love having takeaways. Something I do often, and I should stop because it's turning into a really expensive habit. But we have a KFC and a McDonald's by our house. So yeah, we've been quite bad. So every week we've been going there and snacking. And in regards to KFC and McDonald's, it's very convenient because I normally just go through the drive-thru and I order my food, you pay for the food, and then you just drive down to the next window, and then, you know, you wait for them to bring the food to you. But at times, what happens is, sometimes at McDonald's, what they say is, park your car in the car park and we'll bring the food to you if it's really busy. And you wait and wait and wait, and you're in the car park, and your engine's on, and you realize that you thought you was gonna get fast food, that is gonna be really quick, but what's actually happened is, it's turned out to take a lot more longer than you expected. And what I personally find annoying is sometimes when I do order fast food, I drive off, and they give me the order, and then I open my bag, and then it's the wrong order. And it's a completely different meal. And you know, so much of our culture these days is about having things on time, having things when we want it, making sure that it's inconvenient to us. And you know, we live in a culture, and I would say these days, we want things really, really fast. You know, we don't want to wait for anything. Yeah, so let me ask you this evening, are you a patient person? Is patience something that you struggle with? And I'll be honest, this patience is something that I have struggled with. Because it seems that in life, there's always something that will test our patience. And you know, in life, when we drive our cars, we wait in traffic. You know, we wait to hear about a new job once we apply. We wait to complete school. You know, I didn't really enjoy secondary school as much, so I was really happy when I was in year 11 and it finished. We wait for maturity in a child, and we wait for a decision to be made, but there's plenty more examples. So every day in our lives, in every single one of our lives, it presents occasions for us that test our patience. And we can resent waiting, but one thing is certain is that we can never avoid it. Because we live in a world, brothers and sisters, that is not patient. And you know, as I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking, when I was a bit younger, when internet first came out, we had dial-up internet, and we would wait 10, 15 minutes for it to start, and it didn't seem like a big deal then. But if that was the same case now, that would be absolutely horrible, and I'm sure most of us, we wouldn't be able to cope just waiting. But back then, it seemed fine, it seemed okay. So it just shows how, as a society, we just want things really, really fast. So patient. So in today's passage, James addressed people who suffered, people who were suffering for their faith. And rather than fighting back, James here, he's writing to encourage the people. He's writing to them to encourage them to endure the horrific circumstances which they were facing. And the circumstances they were facing were really, really bad. So James here writes to encourage them. So James chapter 5, verses 7 to 11. Let's look at the first point. So the first point this evening is that the Lord's coming should lead us to be patient. And James says, if you look in your Bibles, in verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. So James called the early church to be patient as they were going through great trials and great difficulty. So this is the background of the passage. So they were pressing the persecuting Christians, and James therefore says, be patient. They were wrestling with living out their faith, going through extremely hard times. And James was basically James writing to them not to give up, to give them hope. Look at verse 7. James gives a practical example for patience. Look at the second part of verse 7. I'll just read it. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. The farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And in the waiting, he's patient. He's patient over it until it receives the early and late rains. This is what he has in mind when he's planting, when he's waiting, knowing that it is coming. And he's able to be patient. And the farmer, he has confidence that even though there will be a drought, there will be a rain. In the same way, we are waiting for the Lord's coming. And this is a reality for every single one of us, that the Lord is coming one day. And the example of the farmer, as James says here in verse 7, it reminds us to be patient in circumstances that are beyond our control. And there are some things in your life, I'm sure you can remember things, which you have had no control over. You know, you might have had an illness or something happened in the family, a loss, something that's beyond our control that we cannot physically do anything about. You know, and when you do have bad health, you need to have patience. You need to wait until you get better. It takes patience to pay off our bills and our debts. You need patience as you wait for that promotion. You need patience while you're waiting for God as he works behind the scenes, waiting for the person you are to marry. So there's a lot of waiting in life. And once you learn how to wait patiently, once you learn how to use these words that James writes here and apply them to your life, you'll feel a lot more less frustrated. And it will really help you. So this is why I chose this passage this evening. The fruit that we have coming to us when we harvest what we have sown and grown in our Christian life is eternal pleasures in the presence of our God and Savior. And the comfort that we all have is that every heartache will be removed. Every fear will be taken away. Every sickness will be healed. And hate will be overwhelmed by love. And rejection by triumph by intimacy with God. Jesus will crush the head of Satan forever. And those who know Jesus, those who are his followers, will be with him in paradise one day. And patience is one of the fruits of the spirits, as mentioned in the book of Galatians. It's a characteristic of being born again. And as such, patience is one of the things that sets the believer apart from those of the world. But patience, as we all are aware, it's not something that comes very easy. The Apostle Paul, he tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us." So James says, you must also be patient. This is to be the reality that frames our present experiences, that gives us the perspective to live in our current situations. If you look in verse 8, James says, establish your hearts. Why? Why does James say this? James says this because the Lord's coming is near. And James wants to highlight this to those Christians who are facing persecution, that the Lord is coming near. Establish your hearts. And what does it mean when James says to establish your hearts? What James is saying is to strengthen our hearts. James is saying this as a command. It's a command to us as patiently waiting Christians to firmly establish our hearts. And how do we do this? We establish our hearts in God's word. We establish our hearts in the truth against the sin and the temptations of this world. To strengthen our hearts is to strengthen our relationship with the Lord. Strengthening our hearts, it requires prayer. Strengthening our hearts requires attention to Scripture. And here's the one thing that we neglect. We know about prayer, we know about reading our Scriptures, but fellowship with other Christians. How much do we fellowship with other Christians? Yes, we come to church. Yes, we come to church on a Sunday morning. We may come in the Sunday evening or the prayer meeting. We may fellowship 5-10 minutes after the service, but how much are we actually fellowshipping outside of church? This is a challenge for every single one of us. You know, for many of us who've been coming to church for a very long time, you know, we need to be proactive in fellowshipping and speaking to other brothers and sisters in Christ. And as James says, the Lord is coming. While we wait, that doesn't mean that we are to be lazy. It doesn't mean that we are to sit there and do nothing, that we are not to be idle. While we wait for the Lord, we are to seek to grow spiritually. We are to seek to grow in spiritual maturity as we love God, as we live out our lives for Him, as we serve Him wholeheartedly with our lives. And brothers and sisters, we do not have to remain patient forever. Our patience has an end. And like I said, it will be rewarded when Jesus Christ returns. And our patience has a purpose. It's to establish our hearts, to strengthen our hearts. And in light of the struggles and the persecutions of this world, we need to be strong. We need to be courageous. We need to be firmly fixed and deeply rooted and not shaken by our faith. And with our hearts established in the faith, we stand firm throughout all of life's storms, no matter what may come our way. Even though life is difficult, you may be sitting here this evening. You may come in to church with a smile and say hello to everyone, how are you? But there may be good storms in your life that we may not know. But if you establish your hearts in God's word through prayer, through fellowship with other Christians, you'll strengthen your heart in Christ. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near, and that is our eternal hope. Even though we may suffer trials, strengthen your hearts. Even though others may persecute us, others may hate us for being Christians, others may dislike us. You know, where I work, I've had loads of jobs, and in many of them, as soon as I shared that I am a Christian, a lot of people are shocked. You know, firstly, they say, "Is your dad white? Is your mum white?" And I say, "No, I said I'm brown." And they're really shocked. And then others, you know, you can tell, like, they just completely just go away from you and they dislike you. But if this happens to you, this is a blessing. Rejoice in this actual blessing that people are like this towards you. And stand firm in your faith, stand strong, because you have something far greater than what any one of them have, because they do not have Christ. strengthen your hearts, because the Lord's coming is near. And secondly, the second point, the Lord's coming should lead us to be humble. So when we are tempted to blame others, grumbling will not help. Do not grumble against one another. Look at verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. You know, it's so easy for us to complain. It's so easy for us to grumble when we are going through suffering, when we are going through hard times in our life, you know. But what is James saying here? Do not grumble against one another. Very simple, very clear. And it seems to be a natural reaction for us to grumble when we are in these circumstances. And in the process of complaining, the only thing that we are doing is discouraging ourselves. We grumble because sometimes we don't understand why this is happening to us as Christians. And those who don't know God, they seem to be going through life just like nothing's happening. And we may be thinking, if I know Jesus, why is this happening to me? Why is this continually happening to me? And it's not happening to that person or that person. Brothers and sisters, this is the wrong thinking. This is wrong thinking. And this is the reason why some of us may grumble. We may grumble because others are not having it as bad as we are. So we try to, as they say, one up each other, declaring our suffering is worse than your suffering, as if it was some sort of competition. We can grumble against people because people are not paying attention to us. Or we may want more phone calls of people. We may want people to say hello to us as we come into the church building. Why didn't that brother or sister say hello to us? You know, why didn't that person ask about me or message me? You know? But instead of thinking about others, we should be thinking about serving more and less about ourselves. And when we grumble, when we complain, it shows that we are not content. It shows that we are not content with God's work in our lives and in those around us. And instead of turning it over to God, we start to speak evil against one another. And we lose our perspective of the situation. And we act as though God is just so far away and he's distant. But the truth is, God is always with us. And if we refuse to give up our judgments without the mercy of others, then God judges us in the same manner. And when we grumble against one another, we are not living in the wonderful truth that God doesn't grumble about us, regardless of our sins. Have you ever thought about that? So James here tells us not to complain, not to grumble. Why? So that we will not be judged. If we make judgment of others in the same way James is saying, you will be judged by God, by the Heavenly Father. James says, and he uses this example which I love, James says the judge is at the door. James here, he's emphasizing God's nearness when he says he is at the door. God is near to us. God sees every suffering. God sees every injustice. God sees it all. And we need to remember that. Because God sees everything, we can count on him. And we can count on him to make things right sooner or later. So we need not grumble as if God is blind or absent. And James is saying, your job is not to get revenge. Your job is not to get payback. Your job, through the trials and difficulties you face, through the persecutions you face, is to wait for the promised return of the judge. and is to have this hope in your hearts. And I'll give you an example. Do you remember in school, and in our school this happened quite a lot, when a teacher stepped out the room? What happens when a teacher steps out the room? The kids go crazy, chucking pencils, chairs, tables in my school, and they start acting up. And then as soon as the teacher's at the door, what happens? They put on their best face. Hello, miss. Hello, sir. And they're quiet again. So this is, as James saying, God is at the door. But God doesn't just walk out the door. God is always there at the door watching us, unlike a teacher. So the Lord's coming is near, and we must live in obedience to God, because God sees us and he desires that we live our lives devoted to him, and that we live our lives obedient to his word. Because the Lord's coming, we need not grumble. We need not complain. We need not feel sorry for ourselves. Because when we start complaining about things, we take on a selfish focus. And we don't focus on loving ourselves. For most of us, that comes quite naturally. Rather, we should turn that love towards others. So do not complain against one another, so you will not be judged. So the Lord's coming should lead us to humility, which is our second point. And thirdly, the Lord's coming should lead us to endure. Look at verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. James points us to the Old Testament prophets as an example. Brethren of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. So what is he saying here? What is James saying here? He's saying, be patient like the prophets who try to minister to others. You know, you may have this person or a group of people, and you're trying to reach out to them about Jesus. You're trying to evangelize to them. You're praying with them regularly. You're sharing God's word with them. It's been days, months, years. And there's, you know, it might not seem like nothing's happening. And you're thinking, why am I doing this when I'm not seeing any results? Why am I doing this when it just seems like I'm trying to tell them about the seriousness of God's word, but they're not taking it seriously? You know? You may be thinking this, but God says to you, if you are experiences or have, to be patient with them. Remember the prophets. They didn't give up. They didn't give up no matter what. Regardless of people listening or not listening, they carried on. Be faithful. You know, John the Baptist, for example. You know, John the Baptist spoke so boldly and so powerfully. And he didn't care about his surroundings. He had God in focus at all times. And that needs to be our focus as we share God's word with everybody. We need to do it with boldness and confidence. And for those who may be thinking, you know what, I struggle speaking to people. I'm not a speaker, you know. What I can say to you is, if God is in your heart, God will help you. God will bring words out of you through the Holy Spirit. He will help you, and pray to him. Pray to God, you know, to help you in situations. Because we need to share God's word with others. This is really important. So when you suffer in your service for the Lord, James says, think of the example of the prophets who patiently endured so much suffering. So think about the patience of people like Elijah, Jeremiah, Daniel, John, Noah, Abraham. Is plenty in the Bible. So these are examples of those who waited patiently through the suffering. You know, Daniel was thrown out to the lions. Jeremiah, he was known as the weeping prophet. He was beaten, thrown in a dungeon, and then into a cistern. Elijah was harassed by King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. But these prophets were faithful men. These prophets were obedient to God. Suffering amongst the children of God is not punishment. James says we consider them blessed. And you know, most of them, they died. They suffered horrendously, and they had terrible deaths. So don't ever think that obedience to God, don't ever think that because you are being obedient to God's word, that automatically this will produce ease and pleasure in your life. Our Lord Jesus Christ was obedient. Our Lord Jesus Christ was patient, and it led him to the cross. So the prophets here encourage us by reminding us that God cares for us, that God is with us. He's with us through the painful sufferings for his sake that we go through. And James is reminding the Christians who are also going through the sufferings that God has you. God has you. You need to trust in them, trust in God, and exercise your patience in the face of trials. And they did it in fight back. They didn't insist on defending themselves. They didn't become bitter, speaking against our God. Instead, they kept speaking the word of God, and this sunk into their hearts. In the same way, God's word needs to sink into our hearts. And James mentions Job. He uses the example of Job in verse 11. So of all the people in the Bible, James uses Job as an example. And as an example of someone who patiently endured suffering. Job was described as blameless, an upright man who feared the Lord, who turned away from evil, great man of God, the classic example of perseverance Job was. Job put up with a lot, far greater than what any of us put together would ever probably go through in our lives. Job lost his businesses. Job lost his livestock. Job lost his children. He eventually had bad health, and he was covered with boils. And his wife told him to curse God. His wife told him to give up, to commit suicide, to end his life. His friends who were loyal to him, who he thought was loyal, they accused him. They accused him of committing some sin in his life. They said, you're a man of God. There must be some sin in your life. That is why you're suffering. And the worst part of Job's suffering was that he had absolutely no idea why this was happening. And from Job's perspective, these problems were unexplainable. Job doesn't have a clue. And of all people, Job had the right to say, why me? Why me, Lord? You know, a lot of things happen, both good and bad, in our lives. Sometimes they may not make any sense. Maybe we'll never understand what we go through or why this happens. And some questions of life will never be answered. But Job maintained his faith. Job was patient. Job waited on God. Job endured the suffering. And even in all the unexplained problems in your life, we need to follow Job's example. We need to trust on God and wait on God. When you lose someone you love for some unexplained reason, all you can do is trust God and wait. When you lose your job and you're not sure why am I losing my job? All you can do is trust God and wait. Sometimes I'm asked, why do you think God allowed this to happen? If God is so loving, why wouldn't God do something about this? But there's some things that we just don't know the answer to. There's some things that we don't know, and we just need to have trust and faith and to know that God does everything according to his greater plan and purpose. So Job endured more difficulty than almost anyone in the history of our world. Yet he was faithful to the end. Job endured because he knew God was worthy to be praised, whether in good situations, whether in bad, whether he had everything or whether he had nothing. And James reminds us that the outcome of Job's suffering was good. Job was blessed by God after all the difficulties that he faced. Job's faith was revealed in his words when he says, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away." And he ends by saying, "Blessed be the name of the Lord," rejoicing in the Lord regardless of his circumstances. How comforting is this? How encouraging is this? And lastly, James reminds his readers in verse 11. Look at verse 11, brothers and sisters. "You have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." Isn't our God compassionate and merciful? He's so merciful. And we must ask an important question to understand what James is teaching. How was the Lord compassionate and merciful towards Job? James says that in the life of Job, we see the purpose of the Lord because the Lord was compassionate and merciful. How do we see this compassion in Job's life? Well, firstly, when Job was going through his suffering, the Lord put a limit on what Satan could do. So we see the compassion of the Lord because the Lord, he set boundaries. So there's only certain things that he allowed Satan power to do. So Satan did not have free rein to do whatever he wished to do with Job. And God has promised us too, in the same way, that we will not be overtaken by our trials and temptations. That we will be able to endure the suffering that we experience. And secondly, we see that the compassion and God's mercy as Job is blessed after by God. And in the same way, whatever you may face, be patient. Because if you know Lord Jesus Christ, then you will receive the crown of righteousness when you maintain your faith through the difficulties and trials of this world. So James is reminding us of the heart of God. That God is compassionate. He is the compassionate and merciful one. And it's by his mercy that any of us are given the opportunity for salvation. And finally, to conclude. So what can we learn from this passage that James tells us here? So as I'll just go through the points, we need to exercise patience, endurance as we wait for the Lord's coming. As we wait for the Lord's return and judgment, we must not grumble or complain against our brothers and sisters. You know, don't expect them to be doing things for you. Instead, have the opposite mentality. Do things for them. And we need to think and follow the examples of the prophets who suffered and continue to preach God's word and maintain their faith. So let me encourage you today, be steadfast in faith. Be steadfast in your faith. Know that God is working and Jesus Christ will return. And those who wait on him, we have a great hope. We have a great reward. You have a great reward waiting for you. You know, we will go through tough times. We will go through such difficulties, stressful situations. But God has a purpose and a plan through everything. Living out our Christian faith is very, very difficult. It's not going to be easy. We will face discouragement. But we should remember that we live in a fallen, a broken and a sinful world that's plagued by sin and suffering. But we need to be patiently waiting and ready for Jesus' return. At the same time, demonstrating our faithfulness to him until the day he comes. And God, like I said, he doesn't want us to just sit at home and just be waiting. He wants us to be proactive. He wants us to go out to serve here in the church, to use more of your life, to use more of your time for his glory. You know, there's an urgency, especially in this area of Handsworth. It's terrible. I mean, you know, every time I drive up here, I always see something happening. You know, so many people are just so far away from the Lord. So many people, they need God's word. You know, if you struggle to speak to people out on the streets, there's different ways. You know, we have the internet, we have social media. There's so many different platforms that we can evangelize to others. We need to be sharing God's word, finding opportunities. If you see somebody you know or you don't know for the first time, we should have it in our hearts that we're going to share God's word with this person. Whether they accept it or not, we need to plant the seed. So we need to wait patiently on the Lord, brothers and sisters. But in waiting patiently, we need to be working and being proactive. We need to be making disciples and supporting missions while we have time here on earth. There are disciples to be made. And Jesus says he is with us. Throughout all of life's storms, he is with us. Brothers and sisters, I want you to remember this passage. Remember these verses. The next time you feel impatient, remember what James is saying here. Be patient. Be patient. Because the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming is near. Thanks and praise be to our God. Amen. We'll bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, as we learnt from the scriptures today, Lord, that, Lord, you are a compassionate Father. You are a merciful Father. You are a Father who has given us so much. You are God who is in control of all things. And Lord, even though we may not see why things are happening to us, we may be thinking, why is this happening to us? But Lord, you have a greater plan and purpose. And the sufferings and the difficulties that we face, they have a greater plan and purpose, Lord, for your glory. And we just pray, Lord, that you may help us to be patient. Help us to be patient people, just like the prophets, like David, Elijah, Noah, and so many more. Help us to exercise this, Lord, in our lives, Lord. Lord, to be patient when speaking to people, to be patient through our actions, Lord, and through our lives, Lord. For, Lord, we are all impatient people. Help us to rely on your word, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for this church, Lord. I pray for the members of this church, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you may be with those, Lord, the people, Lord, next week, Lord, as we go about our daily lives, Lord. That, Lord, that we just may not be caught up in the business of this world, that we may remember you, Lord, and keep our eyes and our hearts fixed upon you and your word. And we just ask these things in your precious name. Amen.